God is offering the greatest reward imaginable to a tiny group of people today. Learn how this tremendous reward relates to a specific throne on earth right now. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. I'd like to talk to you today about a new booklet we have and offer it to you for free. All of our literature is free. This booklet is about Ruth, an Old Testament book that not many people know very much about, but it very closely ties to the New Testament, and it is a prophetic book for this very last era of God's church, or the last end, as Daniel expresses it. There are four gospel messages, writers, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Luke actually begins his book with, in the very first chapter, about the throne of David, which is really the throne of God. It's the throne of God. One of the most inspiring messages in all the Bible. And why is it that we don't hear more about that today? Luke and the other gospel writers were continually focusing on that subject. Why is it so important to you, to all of us, and especially to those called out today before Christ's second coming? Those first fruits, as we call them, because that's the biblical name for them. Let's take a look at Luke 1 and verse 30 through 33. And I'll read to you about a few scriptures here before I get into the book of Ruth. Verse 30 reads, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Father. And the eternal God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Christ is going to be given the throne of his father David. Of course, it's really God's throne, but it's called David's throne because it's bringing mankind into this calling and into this family of God. Verse 33 says, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So this throne is going to last forever. There's going to be no end to it. And it's really God offering you and me and any of us that will respond to that calling the greatest reward ever offered in the Bible. By far, God is going to, and he invites those first fruits, those called out before the second coming of Christ, he invites them to share that throne with him and to help him rule the earth and the entire universe. Now, that is quite a responsibility, and there's nothing like it in the Bible and or any place else that never could be. This is the pinnacle of God's reward to anybody who will respond before the second coming and help get his work done. Quite a magnificent reward indeed. But Satan is doing everything he can to deceive people about that reward. But look, it is about a throne that's on this earth. Jesus Christ is not going to return to a non-extant throne. He's going to return to a throne that's on this earth right now. And he's going to come and he's going to sit on that throne. Where is that throne? Now, it's important that you really know that because that's where God's work is. We're going to send you information about a new throne on this earth and really in the last year, about a year ago. And you need to understand that because it is about the throne of David. And if we don't understand that, we're not going to understand so much about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So this is critical understanding. We're going to offer you a Royal Vision magazine that will talk all about this new throne and how you can understand it and be a part of it if you so choose. But why is it so misunderstood today? The book of Ruth takes us back to the beginning, the very beginning of that throne, the physical beginning especially. But it doesn't end there. It also talks about the end of that throne, where it's going to, what the ending is going to be. It is a vision of this end time, specifically to the last era of God's church in this end time. And it's about a vision of marriage, about how we are offered a marriage to Jesus Christ. And that's why we can share His throne. So there were two characters there in that book of Ruth. One is Boaz and the other is Ruth. And they became husband and wife. And of course, it is all a type of our marriage to Jesus Christ today. And it's prophecy about that marriage, about this marriage that's going to solve a lot of problems and how you can personally be a part of it. Notice Revelation 3 and verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So Jesus Christ says, well, all right, now if you want to be a part of that, you're going to have to overcome. You're going to have to overcome as I overcame. That means you're going to have to overcome the devil. That's explained very explicitly in Matthew 4, where this Christ had this titanic struggle with Satan the devil. So we are offered, as Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, we're offered a better covenant and a better resurrection. Indeed it is. Notice verse 6 of Revelation 1 now. And see, after we overcome, here's what God says during that process even. In verse 6, and has made us already kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God says He's already made us kings and priests. We're kings and priests in embryo if we're helping God do His work today. Kings and priests in embryo, already we're kings and priests. Getting ready to sit on that throne with Jesus Christ. That is just mind-numbing and wonderful prophecy about your future if you want it. And what a future it is. We get to sit on David's throne. And that's the greatest news offered in the Bible. One more quick scripture before we go back to the book of Ruth. This is Revelation 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. You see, God is not negative about this. He's very positive about this. He says His wife is going to make herself ready when He comes to marry those first fruits. Now, that's a very positive message. God is not negative. And you shouldn't be negative. I shouldn't be negative. This is a super positive message that God is giving to all of us. What a message it is. But God is always positive. He calls the first fruits out now so they can marry Jesus Christ and share His throne and rule over the earth and the universe forever. That's what these scriptures tell you. We get to help Jesus Christ rule the universe as well as the earth. Now that's almost inexplicable reward that God is offering us. How do you even describe that? It's not easy. These people get to introduce Jesus Christ to this world. Ruth married Boaz, and it was a type of the church marrying Jesus Christ. You see, it's a vision of a marriage, a vision of the first fruits marriage to Jesus Christ. It's all about the future, and it's aiming specifically at this last little era and span of time before Jesus Christ comes. Boaz was a type of Christ, Ruth a type of church, and it all leads into the very marriage of Jesus Christ. Ruth was an ancestor of King David. She was an ancestor and became the great-grandmother of David. So this book relates the physical beginning or origins of the house of David. But it's not only that. It covers, and with this marriage, where that house of David begins and where it ends and what it's all about. And it's all about prophecy. It's all about the greatest vision in the Bible as far as you are concerned, if you want to accept God's invitation today to help Him do His work. There is no other vision like this in the Bible. There's only one, and God is offering you that today. Notice Ruth 1 and verse 1. We'll go back to that. Now it came to pass in the days of the judges, when the judges ruled. So this is a time of the judges. Now, the judges is a book of history, but it is one of the former prophets. So it's about prophecy, and it's this time is prophesied in your Bible in the former prophets. Judges is one of the former prophets. Certainly, it indicates that Ruth also would be a part of prophecy, but the book of itself tells you that after all, it's a picture of us marrying Jesus Christ. That's what happens at the end of these kings on David's throne. And then at the end, the ultimate king rules the throne of David forever with his bride, with the first fruits. Christ was the first of the first fruits. And now he's offering you the most magnificent reward you could possibly even imagine. But here's something also that is important. The judges was a time when Israel was ruled without a king. They had no king. Now, if you look into then the book of Ruth, which is also happened in that time, it gives you the solution to judges and all the bloodiest book in the Bible. What is the solution? Why? The marriage to the King of Kings. There was no king in Israel, which would be a type of Jesus Christ ruling anyhow on the throne of David. But they didn't even have a king. And it was a terrible time, the most terrible time in the history of Israel, up until really the 70 AD and then on down to this present, which is going to be the worst time ever. But the solution is to have a king, but a righteous king, and in this case, it's Jesus Christ Himself. And He came to this earth to prepare for that rule Himself. Notice Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. And she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back with her people and to her gods. Return you after your sister-in-law." You better go back. This is not going to be easy. Naomi is telling Ruth, that's her mother-in-law. Verses 16 and 17. Notice what Ruth said. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do to me and more also, if aught but death part you and me." That's one of the greatest commitments in all the Bible. Four times Ruth talked about death. Take death to part me from you. And she says that refers to death four times.
No.
Now, that's what God wants in us, that kind of a commitment to His work. That will get you into the family of God. But we have to be prepared to sit on that throne. We have to overcome as Christ did. You can look at Ruth 1 and verse 22. That's the start of the barley harvest, and they counted the 50 days up to Pentecost. Pentecost pictures the church's marriage to Jesus Christ. And that happens at the end of all of these kings. At the end of that harvest, though, that's when the marriage occurred, which is a type of our marriage to Jesus Christ. That's what the day of Pentecost pictures, as I said. Let's go now to Ruth 4 and verse 11. I want to mention this to you quickly. And all the people that were in the gate of, and the elders, and we are witnesses, the Lord make the woman that is come into your house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. Oh, now here, you see, there is a coded word there. Rachel and Leah, they built the house of Israel. Now this talks about history, but it is prophecy. All of this book of Ruth is prophecy about the end time. And this is all a type of building up spiritual Israel in this end time. That is the work of God. Build it up so we can get the message out and bring some people to God and at least be a witness to all the world of what is coming. A great, awe-inspiring message, and time is on the horizon, and you can see it building. This new booklet will explain all of that to you in detail. The nation of Israel didn't have God's Holy Spirit, and today the church does have the Holy Spirit, and so this is a prophecy about building up spiritual Israel. There's a work to be done. And that's what qualifies us and prepares us for the job that God is going to give us. Now, these words have very great meaning. You can look at Genesis 30, verses 22 through 24, and you'll see that Rachel bore Joseph. And in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy, it explains how Joseph had these two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. That's America and Britain, and you can see that it's proven to you in that book. And then let me read to you Genesis 48 and verse 16. Well, it just says there, let my name be named on them. That's Israel, on those two sons in this end time. So prophetically, Israel today are those two sons. Now there's another son those two are the birthright nations. And then the other son, Judah, is the scepter nation. The little Jewish nation in the Middle East is that scepter nation. And there's certainly a reason why God covers this all in the book of Ruth. So Ruth is actually telling us where the work is, in that where Israel is in this end time. Well, then that's where the work is, and that's where God wants us to, first of all, prepare Israel for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we expand out the message to the whole world. But it's about the work, getting the work done in this end time. And that's what really prepares us most of all to be sharing the very throne of God with Jesus Christ. Now, it's all about spiritual Israel primarily. Then it talks about Leah. Well, what did Leah do to build up Israel? Well, then again, you have to look to the future. There's Levitical history, but we have to be concerned about a prophetic future here. That's what this book is about. So what did this end time Levi do? I'll just paraphrase some of this. Malachi 2 and verse 4, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi. And it goes on to say that he feared, verse 5, he feared God and had a great fear. It says that twice. And then verse 6 talks about the law of truth that he has. And verse 7, well, you should seek the law at his mouth. That law was given on the day of Pentecost. the day where that pictures our marriage to Jesus Christ, if we're a part of that first fruit calling. Now, in this little booklet, it talks about this modern day Levi, whoever he was, and it proves to you who he was, a man that came, but he's now gone. He was a type of Levi over the ministry of God and gave direction to the church. Now, he had a prayer rock, and it talks a lot about that, and it's one of the most fascinating stories in all of the Bible. So I hope you'll get the little booklet and read it. It's just amazing what this little book has to teach us. I'll just give you a little bit more of this about Levi. Genesis 49 says, Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." You see, this is about the last days, and this is about Levi, and it's about the throne of David. It's about the scepter promised to the Jews, as well as the great promise to spiritual Israel, and a warning to physical Israel. Then verse 10 says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come." This is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, when that marriage takes place. Well, he goes on to say that that's all about the scepter promise and the law together. When Jesus Christ is returning, you have the law and the scepter together, or the law and the throne together. Ruth 4, verses 14 and 15. Naomi nursed the child, and they named him Obed, which means serve. He grew up really, to serve God. This is the son that Ruth and Boaz had. And Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse happened to be the father of David. So this leads right up to the very beginning of that throne of David. And Ruth begins all of that in a physical way, that physical house of David. And notice how this all ends. I'll read a quote to you from Isabel Elder, and here's what she said in a book about Ruth. She said, "Ruth moved to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law and married a man named Boaz of the royal house of Judah," Elder wrote. "When she bore the child, Obed, the stage was being set for the future kings of the nation of Israel." Number one, there's your race, the kings that are sitting on David's throne, but there's another promise with that throne of David, and that is, and the coming of the Messiah, or him, the Christ returning and giving grace to all the world, calling all the world into his family and resurrecting those who've never known God and giving them a chance to know God and get to be a part of this family of God. That's all covered in that last great day just at the end of the millennium. But here's what the marriage of Boaz and Ruth is all about. So in verse 17, and they called his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, and so on. But look at the end of all this, that God says, here is this wonderful promise even made all the way back in Genesis 1 and to Abraham, and you have a promise of this throne of David. It's going to have, it's all about race, but mostly it's about grace. The Jesus Christ returning to this earth to give grace and rewards and opportunities to the rest of the world and bring them into the very family of God. What could be greater than that? Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
God is offering the greatest reward imaginable to a tiny group of people today. Learn how this tremendous reward relates to a specific throne on earth right now. The biblical book of Ruth describes the miraculous physical origin of the throne of David. Request Gerald Flurry's new booklet, The Book of Ruth, to learn about a marriage that changed the course of history. Understand the depth of Ruth's undying commitment. You need to develop the strong character of Ruth. The story of Ruth ties directly to the future of mankind. Her marriage is a type of God's church marrying Christ, which will happen when Christ returns to earth.
The annual Holy Day of Pentecost pictures this spectacular event. The events of Ruth's memorable life took place in physical Israel, but her righteous deeds actually built up spiritual Israel. She was the great-grandmother of King David. Jesus Christ descended from the physical line of King David, and he will soon return to rule from David's throne on earth. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Read Gerald Fleury's The Book of Ruth to find out who those other kings and lords are. You'll also receive a copy of the July-August 2017 Royal Vision magazine, The New Stone and New Throne special issue. God's loyal people today now have the awesome opportunity to present this throne to Christ when he returns. Study this issue for extensive proof that the throne has been moved. Learn why it happened. See how Satan continues to attack this throne. Discover the tremendous miracles that God performs to help and preserve his royal saints. The truth about the new stone and new throne is the most stunning revelation in this end time. Read the July-August 2017 Royal Vision magazine to understand how this revelation can change your life. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the Book of Ruth and the New Stone and New Throne, Royal Vision. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the Book of Ruth and the New Stone and New Throne, Royal Vision. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.